Good morning.
Good morning,
and welcome to the service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can come into the presence of the Lord on this day. A few announcements before we begin. Easter lilies, we were collecting last week for Easter lilies as memorials to beautify the church on Easter Sunday, and we're still collecting those. I think there are supposed to be the sheets for those at the entrances. If there's not, you can track. Oh, I'm getting a nod that there are. Good. I love it when a plan comes together. So those are there, and you can fill them out and return them to the church. Next Sunday will be the last Sunday for those. Following worship this morning, we invite anyone who would like to join the choir for the Easter season to come join us downstairs, and we will be beginning to practice for anthems for next Sunday and the Sunday following. And next Sunday, our choir will also include families and youth from the congregation. So families and youth, make note of that, and please plan to be part of that choir. If you want to come down today, right after worship, and go through the piece once today, that's fine. You're more than welcome to do so. The anthem for next Sunday, though, has also been selected so that it's a one-practice hymn, one-practice anthem. So we will meet at 9:15 for those who aren't here this morning. But if you're here and you think, I'd like to know what we're going to sing, come downstairs and we'll gladly run through it once with you as well. And finally, there's three finallys, okay? Number one, there is at the entrances to the sanctuary information, little flyers like this on the Empty Bowls fundraiser for the Agape Center, which will be held next Sunday over the lunch hour, and all the information about it is on these little folders, and as I say, they're at both doors as you exit this morning. And finally, we welcome the Reverend Colleen Galanders Adams to the pulpit of St. John's this morning, and we're pleased to have her leading in worship. And finally, the last finally, there is a special announcement regarding our ongoing chair campaign. And so pay attention to the screen.
Myrtle, where are you?
Hi, I'm right here. What's up?
We're here to talk to the people about the chairs, remember?
Oh, yes. Hi, everybody.
Good morning, everyone. It's so nice to see you this morning.
We thought we should stop by to bring you up to date on our Easter BOGO fundraiser for the new chairs.
We are very excited to see all the chairs going up on the windows in the McClellan Room and wanted to share that with you. Isn't it wonderful?
Wow.
Yeah, it's wonderful, Myrtle.
Wow.
Look at all the names of the people who have donated money to purchase the new chairs.
Yep. We need to replace those old, rickety, old, decrepit, old...
Oh, Myrtle, stop it. We're not going there again with the old.
Hey. You're not such a spring chicken yourself anymore.
Myrtle.
I know. I'm just messing with you.
Well, we just want to say a great big thank you to those who have donated and ask everyone else to prayerfully consider making a donation, because Easter is coming soon and our BOGO will be over before we know it.
That's right. Please help us replace the old chairs.
Thanks again, everyone. We will see you after Easter with the final numbers.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you soon.
As we enter into the presence of our Lord for worship, we will light the Christ candle. Maybe. I'm I'm sorry, this technology is beyond me. Oh, there you go. We light the Christ candle to remind us of his presence is the light of the world. Let us come into his presence with the call to worship. It is responsive. I would invite you to stand, and then we can sing hymn 371 following. Oh, that the salvation would come for those who strive. Then our ancestors would rejoice. Let us worship God. Let us sing hymn number 371, Love Divine. The words will appear on the screen.
Thank you.
We begin with a prayer of adoration, and then we'll move into a prayer of confession, which will be in unison and on the screen. God, our Creator and Companion, your love is as fresh as the new day, rising like the sun to guide us. In Jesus Christ, you walk with us to challenge and encourage us, revealing our weakness, yet offering us hope. We praise you for such gifts. In this time of worship, open to us to the new possibilities you create for the love, for the world you love. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, energize us to embrace the future, trusting in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now hear us as we join our voices in a prayer of confession. God, our Creator and Companion, you created us to be your partners in creation, but we confess we're not happy being partners. We prefer to have our own way. We like to manage the world without your guidance. We are often tempted to satisfy our own desires without counting the cost to others or to the earth itself. Lord, have mercy on us. Amen. The Apostle Paul declared our hope, asking the question, who is in a position to condemn? The answer, only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. And Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Trust this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and set free by God's generous grace. Amen. So I'd like to now take this time and call it a time for community, or I suppose it's a time for just a minute. Do we sing our hymn and then do the children's time? Okay, I've got my order mixed up, sorry. So let us sing our next hymn, which is number 631, Jesus' Hands Were Kind Hands. I'm trying to decide how to do this. I guess I will stand here. Yes, I'm still on screen. Okay. I'm going to call this a time for community. And I would ask all of you to think about the fact that there is this thing that we sometimes do in the church. We don't do it here often, but I'm sure you've all seen it, or most of you have seen it. And it's called passing the peace of Christ. And just as we sung and as we believe, Christ Jesus offers us peace through all of the wonderful things he has done for us. And as we receive that peace and become a part of that peace, we share that peace with each other in the name of Christ. And we all become one in our love of Christ and our willingness to pursue what Christ taught us to pursue. So I would invite you to turn to someone close to you and say, "May the peace of Christ be with you." And if you hear someone say that to you, your response is, "And also with you." And as you are comfortable, you can shake each other's hands or embrace or just simply nod to one another. I don't know. All right, so I will say to all of you, may the peace of Christ be with you. Minna, may the peace of Christ be with you. Peace. And if there's children here, if they want to leave for Sunday school, they're welcome to do that. May the peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you. And also with you. And also with you. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, as we hear your scriptures read today and your word proclaim, we ask that you illumine us with your Holy Spirit, that all we hear may touch our hearts and grow our love for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
First reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 32 to 34. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." The second reading is Psalm 53. It's a responsive reading, and the words will appear on the screens. "Fools say in their hearts, 'There is no God.' They are corrupt, they commit abominable acts. There is no one who does good. They have all fallen away. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not one. There they shall be in great terror, in terror such as has not been, for God will scatter the bones of the ungodly. They will be put to shame, for God has rejected them.
Oh, that deliverance from Israel will come from Zion, when God restores the fortunes of his people. Jacob will rejoice, Israel will be glad."
The hymn is "Guide Me Thou, O Great Redeemer," number 651.
Guide me, thou, O great Redeemer, fill ground through them.
continuing the reading in the Gospel in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their gate ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. As a young person, death was always at a distance. I had next to no real experience of it until the summer I worked at a hospital. This particular hospital had several floors dedicated to the care of people living with the effects of amputations and stroke. They had an activities director whose job it was to help make life more stimulating for these longer-term patients. I was one of four students hired on a federal government grant to work within this department. So I spent the summer visiting with these folks, organizing and helping with social gatherings and activities, and escorting them off the floor to the gardens and beyond. It was a privilege to meet and interact with these individuals, learning about their medical issues and their challenges. One day, the door to one of the women whom I visited was shut. So I went to the nurse's station to inquire if I could go in and see her. The nurse responded to me with this eclectic comment. "She had a bad night. You can visit if you want. It's entirely up to you." I stood there not quite sure what the nurse was telling me. Not sure how to use this information. Should I make a visit or not? In retrospect, this moment became a valuable learning lesson. Sometimes we cannot say, nor can we hear what people are really saying. Sometimes we can only come to understand after repeated conversations, after repeated inquiry, after having the emotional fortitude to be curious. As it turned out, this woman to which the nurse was referring had become deathly ill in the night, and later in the day she died. I learned not to take for granted even what the medical staff say. Even if they won't say the word, death is still hard to predict. We don't know how to thwart it. We only know that death inevitably will come. So it's hard to talk about it. It's hard to acknowledge its presence. We wonder, is any death good? do we really want to face it? Jesus did. It was essential to his whole purpose. The time came when he began to speak of his own death to his disciples, but it was hard for them to hear. Between chapters 8 and chapters 10 of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus speaks to them four times, saying the same thing. He will die at the hands of others, and that he will rise. Three times in the presence of all 12, another time after the transfiguration as he came down the mountain with Peter, James, and John. At the first mention of his death, Peter had tried to rebuke Jesus. Jesus' response was so strong that they all opted to say nothing more. Mark tells us that each time Jesus told them what was going to happen, they dared not ask questions. They remained silent. Mark's gospel, written after the events told after Jesus' death and resurrection, remind us how in hindsight we see things that at the time we did not see. In this situation, Jesus was doing something significantly different. Only time and experience would allow this new thing to become a part of their conversation. It required reflection. It is a reminder that to be human is to be a disciple, and that we are always learning. Today's reading was the fourth time that James and John heard Jesus speak about his coming death, and it seemed for James and John some implication of this coming reality was starting to percolate through. While they may not have quite perceived how, they understood that Jesus was approaching death, and it would also mean his glory was approaching. Not wanting Jesus to be alone in this mysterious and difficult moment, not able to say even the death word, instead they asked Jesus if they could be by his side when his glory comes. It was a request most likely made in that time-honored tradition of loyal friends staying together in the thick of adversity. However, the others didn't see it that way and started to argue when they heard of their request. It devolved into a moment like those on the island of the Soul Survivors series, where people went behind each other's backs to make new alliances, alliances made to ensure their influence and security. But in doing so, it gave rise to distrust and bad feeling among the rest. Jesus intervened. You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. And here's the crux of the matter, the reality of our humanity, the position of default that has overshadowed human life and societies. The march of time and death is unstoppable. Death is one of those things that we are helpless to change. It is final. Human society can be drawn in, cajoled into organizing itself around the fear of death. Tyrants use this fear to their advantage. They seek to become the arbiters of death because from that vantage, they believe they can dictate the terms of life. Jesus said, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them." If you follow the news, you will find our own modern-day parables of this very fact. Nations, leaders, and individuals accumulating instruments of death and violence and threatening to use such. A posturing which implies a belief that the threat of death is ultimately what is needed in order to maintain their greatness, their autonomy, their freedom to pursue their own interests. And it discourages interference. The gospel, however, is different. Threat of death or even its removal is not what ensures what will follow is a meaningful or vital life, a life pleasing to our Lord God. The story of the gospel is a story of Jesus establishing a different kind of posturing. It is a posturing where life is valued and hope is for renewal. It is a posturing or a turning which welcomes forgiveness. Jesus offers mercy, kindness, and healing to the sick and weak. He is not afraid to cross barriers and offer inclusion and cleansing. He affirms partnerships, companionship, hospitality. He teaches restored life is found in a context of reverence and service, not fear and competition. And in the restored life, hope, faith, and love abound. The real conundrum, as the history of Israel describes, as the psalmist describes, is that a life apart from God's presence becomes very quickly transitory and vulnerable. God's people exist, but they need the intervening grace of God. And for the disciples who were raised in this tradition, they perceived this presence of God in Jesus. And Jesus was their best hope against this tyranny of death. So when Jesus spoke of his death, especially at the hands of others, it was almost like they were hearing the loss of their hope. James and John, after hearing Jesus speak about his death and rising, had not lost sight of this hope that Jesus will bring a restoration once and for all. And so, rather than trying to sort out that death part, they make an inquiry about the glory part, the rising. And they broach the subject, asking for a role. Jesus' answer was that the glory they were thinking about was not the glory they imagined. It was like a baptism, a descending and a rising at the hand of another, a giving up and a turning over to God. The path to his glory would be dependent solely on God. Jesus himself was not the one who got to decide. Their role, he affirmed, like his own, was one of service. It was not to take up a role as the world favors, consolidating power to oneself, claiming lordship through the threat of death, and thus becoming a tyrant. Rather, he was to relinquish a self-serving agenda and adopt a role whose strength comes by turning in faith and love to God. Under the ever-present shadow of death, under the shadow of our bodies, to live by faith and love is hard. For us, the will to not be intimidated by death is almost impossible. It seems beyond us. Jesus came not just to show us simply the good life, a good moral teacher, but to show us the way through the fear and finality of death. Death cannot be ignored, but it ought not define us either. Jesus came to challenge this defining role, and this is what Jesus needed to do for humanity. And this is why he prepared his disciples. And this is why James and John, while their heart was in the right place, could not undo what only God can undo. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life, a ransom for many. The death and glory as sought by humanity has always been associated with each other, and its pursuit is what has imprisoned us. But with the coming of Jesus Christ, this pursuit is cast out. Death and its ruinous glory will be turned out on its ear. Jesus' death will open the possibility of a life changed. Changed from a life of fearful striving to a living in reverence and love. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness to us. Amen. Let us rejoice and be glad. The offering will now be received. We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. In grateful devotion, our tribute we bring. We lay it before you. We kneel and adore you. We bless your holy name. Glad praises we sing. Amen. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. With gratitude, O God, we listen and accept the guidance of Jesus. He is our light along the path of life. We thank you for his challenging word, which calls us to turn towards your kingdom. Christ testifies that you are Lord over life and death, and so we have hope. Even though Christ's path also revealed those who resist God's way of love, yet his unfailing service gives us courage to also serve. His faith revealed your faithfulness and the reality that your love brings renewal. In this moment of prayer, we acknowledge the challenges within our lives and our society, and we name in our hearts and minds that which is closest to us this day. We ask that you also hear our concerns and hopes, and may your life-giving spirit encircle us. Today, we especially commend to your loving care Carolyn Wolfe, and ask you to lift up her as she recovers from a fall and knee surgery. God of the dried up places, there is no place that is too dark for your presence. There are no situations that are beyond your grace. Even barren places of grief and poverty and hopelessness are in your hands. Bring life where there is death, healing where there is pain, and courage where there is fear. Stay with us as we go through every valley. Stay with us as we reach out to the world with hands that heal. Stay with us as we make our way along the Christ path. Hear us now as we share our voices and say the prayer that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us sing our concluding hymn together, number 635, Brother, Sister, Let Me Be Your Servant.
Thank you.
Now go in peace, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always.
Oh.